Unfortunately, tonight is going to be the last shiur before Pesach. We're off to the States next week, and we're there for a couple of weeks, and then we'll be back. And then we'll jump into the Sefer itself. But I think that just in the context of learning the introduction, we've learned so much already, for those of us who have been with us from the beginning, that it's a teaching in and of itself. And it's going to be a good idea, Be'ezus Hashem, before we actually begin the Sefer, to review it if you can, whether it means rereading, if you could go through on your own, or maybe even watching or listening to the recordings if you need a refresher. You could listen on 2x speed, much quicker, if you could handle me talking that fast. And in that way, we can review the basic foundations that are going to be crucial, mamash crucial for us, before jumping into the Sefer itself. So I'm quite happy about that, actually, because it gives us space for everything that we've learned until we actually start the Sefer to settle in. It has to settle in. So it's good. Space is good. But what it does mean that we have to finish the Hakdama tonight, and we have a lot to get through. So let's get straight to it. We're going to allow Rav Kluger to do most of the talking. Can't promise, but I can aim to allow that to happen. All b'siyata d'shmaya with the help of the Master of Heaven and Earth, who is undoubtedly overwhelmed with pride that his precious children are here trying to get close to him at the end of time. What a privilege to be among those who are mevakshei Hashem, or seeking Hashem. Let's take a look on page Dalid. So you'll see on the top, on the right-hand corner, it says Hakdama with the letter Dalid, and we are holding at Ois Gimel. Okay, the third section of the Hakdama. Okay? Says the Heiliger of Kluger Shlita. The Tzaddik writes as follows, Kfar yasar ha-kasav es kesher Hashem Yisbarach v'Yisrael ba'ofnei kesher mashpia u'mekabel. Hashem has already made it clear through the Torah that the dynamic of his relationship with us is one of giver, mashpia, the one who's giving, and the one who is being mekabel. Obviously, Hashem is in the role of the giver, and in a certain sense, we are in the role, at least in stage one of the process, which we'll speak about more delicately in a minute. In stage one of the process, we're receiving everything that he has to give us. What does he give us? He gives us everything we have. Whatever it is that a Jew has, it was given, was gifted. Life itself is a gift. Every food we eat is a gift. Every breath we take, I'll call neshima u'neshima, as Chazal tell us, kol ha'neshama tahalel ka. Right? So Chazal say, on every breath that a Jew takes, to praise Hashem. Everything is a gift. So in that sense, Hashem is the ultimate giver or the ultimate receiver. Now, the clarity of the dynamic of the relationship is going to become clear through the mashal that he uses, which is very apropos for this esteemed audience, as we're going to see in a minute. But Amre, as the Pasuk says, Kim sais chasan al kala, like the groom, like the chasan, rejoices in his bride, Yasis alayich elekoyach, the Master of Heaven and Earth, the Infinite One, will rejoice over his intimate bond with each and every one of us. So the implication, of course, is that the chasin is the mashpia, is the one who's giving, and the isha, the wife, is the aspect of mekabel. Now, this is a very shallow way of looking at the dynamic, because in one sense, it may be true that the husband is giving something in the relationship. All of you know, Be'ezus Hashem, as mothers and as mothers-to-be, all of us know in this room that the Isha gives quite a bit too, right? It's a different kind of giving. There's a different dynamic. But what's important to know is that when we speak about these gendered, so to speak, roles, we have to understand that each contain a bit of both. So we never speak about an absolute, okay? So the isha is just mekabel, and the husband is just mashpia. There's no such thing, right? The husband has an aspect of giving, which is unique to him. The isha has an aspect of receiving that's unique to her. She has an aspect of giving that's unique to her, and he has an aspect of mekabel that's unique to him. So that's very, very important to know. But the dynamic of our relationship with Hashem works in precisely the same way. Hashem gives us a world. But if you've been paying attention, which I think all of us have, the world is an imperfect world. And that means to say that what he gives us, and we receive it. But what does he expect us to do? He expects us to give something back. He expects us to give him a more perfect world than the one that he gave us. So in that sense, sure, we receive. But gevalt, do we also give? Okay. And we say this, and we make reference to this dynamic of the relationship every Friday night when we sing Eisha Schayil, the woman of valor. Shah Hashem Yisbarach made ba'aznei kol neshama. Hashem is whispering and is providing testimony into the ears of each and every Jewish soul as goydel yikar ma'aloi se'a be'enav. Our great preciousness in his eyes is going to be a big theme throughout the Sefer, especially in the first chapter, right in the beginning. We're going to get into this dynamic in such a beautiful way. I'm so excited to get to it. We'll get to it. Do we ever think about this when we're singing Eish Yisrael? Do we think at all of anything other than like can't wait to get to the, you know, the challah and the dips? You know, like what this means, Eish Yisrael. Why do we sing it b'chlal on Shabbos? What does Eish Yisrael mean? The husband is singing it for his wife? What if there's no husband there? What if it, you know, it's a bunch of girls or they're singing Eish Yisrael? It's part of the liturgy. It's got to have deeper meaning. And it's true on every level that it has many, many dimensions. One of the dimensions is that it's Hashem singing this song about all of us collectively. And when you hear Eish Yisrael sung on Friday night, in the aspect of Hashem praising Am Yisrael, when he says, Batach Balev Bala, do you know, and he's whispering it into my ears in the same way that it's whispering it into your ears and the ears of every Jew who ever lived. Batach Balev Bala, do you know how much I trust you? Do you know how much I love you? How much I'm bound up with you? Umuhulala, and Hashem praises us. Rabbis, banois, asu chayil. There were so many daughters. There were so many women who did so many incredible things. But va'at, my precious nation, Am Yisrael, alis al kulana. Alis al kulana. Hashem says, I love you so deeply. Imagine if we would hear that in Eish Yisrael every Friday night. We don't usually think about it in this way, but now you can hear just for this it was worth it. You could hear Eish Yisrael in a whole different way, especially when we learn the translation and the meanings. It's so validating. Oh, at the end of a long week, after each and every one of us schleps through the mundanity of the 6 days of the week, everything we go through, we come into Shabbos, sometimes battered and broken and maybe dejected and maybe feeling less than. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the first thing I'm doing is I'm singing you Eish Yisrael. The first thing you need to know, At Alis Al Kulana. We spoke about it a little bit last week, with all the brokenness and all the trauma we spoke about and all the difficulties, you're fine. You're fine. At Alis Al Kulana. I have no idea how precious you are. That's what Hashem is telling us. Now he says an interesting thing. Eitzal Chasen V'Kala Koydem Anesuin. By the husband and the wife, or rather the groom and the bride before the actual nisun, before the actual marriage, shoymim shvachim ze al ze. All the while, oh my gosh, how she's praising him to her friends, and he's praising her to his friends, and they say praises about each other. Umispalim mikol mala, every little tiny little detail. Oh, you know, he did this, and he went out of his way, and he gave her his coat, and she was cold, and oh, he's the biggest Baal Chesed who ever lived. You know, all this. And that's what happens in the dynamic between a husband and a wife when they're dating. And that's a normal thing. It's a beautiful thing. Shoshoyim b'dvar gadlus b'toyra. Every chassan is the biggest Talmud Chacham. Right? Of a masim toivim into every girl is the biggest Baal Midas. This is how it goes. The chayotzeb is that, and this is normal. B'ram la'achra nesuin. But after they get married, it would be very interesting, you know, if like 3-4 years down the line, she's still praising him to all her friends and every tiny little thing that he does. I mean, you know, he's busy telling all of his friends about what a Baal HaSamid is, my wife. I mean, forget it. Something changed? Now they no longer see all the beautiful malus, all the beautiful good things in one another? Hopefully not. On the contrary, the dynamic of the relationship is such is that their relationship is too intimate for them to be sharing details of each other outside of the relationship. Right now, he says, "Shuv ein makom l'chol ha'shvachim shenemru koydem l'chein." Now, their conversations, I mean, they're well beyond that. Their relationship, the Ezus Hashem, hopefully, deepens. Mikan ve'elech medubar al chayim. Okay, now we talk about life. It's good. We praised each other. Baruch Hashem got it to, you know, made it to the chuppah and beyond. And now, like, it's life. Umam makam lamalas eilav acherim. What does it matter? This one is the best at this, and she's the best at this. I mean, kol shevach asher never koydem achasana nishkach l'gamri. It's irrelevant. You don't think back, you know, to those days and the things that you pointed out. First of all, half of them you realize very quickly, you know, chas v'shalom. I'm sure my wife recognized a lot of things about me. I'm still absolutely confident in everything that I just, in case she listens. No, I'm kidding. But for real, right? But aside from that, I mean, first of all, you move beyond this stuff. But he says deeper than this. Ki hamadubar, right? Nishkach legamri bashanim shala achran esun. In the years following marriage, forget all of this talk. Ve'in lo erech v'hashpa ve'inim esiyash v'alalev. It would sound silly. It would sound silly. You know why? Ki hamadubar ata, because the way that their relationship is structured now, hu rak al shvachim achirim legamri. They don't need to use canned, terminology of shidduch resumes and the like for this one to describe it like this and it described like that. I mean, now their relationship is so deep that she doesn't need to call him, you know, oh, my Talmud Chacham, you know, it's interesting. If he praises her like, oh, you're such a Baal Smita, it's beyond that. They're living together. It's live. The dynamic of the relationship is alive. It it doesn't follow a template anymore or a framework. It's life. Now they're talking about Oshvacham Acherim Legamri, Shebeinoy Lebeina. I mean, these are the things that they share because she knows his intimate life and he knows her intimate life, and they share this experience one with the other in such a way that when he wants to praise her, he has a little bit deeper praises to say. You understand? No longer do they use external, generic is the word I'm looking for, generic terminology. Now here's the way, just to make it sharper, the way that he puts it so beautifully in the next sentence. Ha-hevdol b'zeh hu, and if we had to draw a distinction, like what is the difference? It's very simple. She-koydim ha-nesu'in, before the marriage, medabrim olav. She was busy speaking about him, and he is busy speaking about her. Olav. The alloy doisav, you know, from afar, from a distance, where she's, you know, enthralled kala, and he's an infatuated chassan, and on their own, in their own lives, because their lives haven't yet merged. So in his social circles, so he's busy praising her, and in her, so with her friends, so she's busy praising him. But you know what then happens? Listen to this. Baram la'achar mikayim, but once they actually start living together, and they're married, so they no longer speak alav, about one another, but kfar medabrim elav. Now they're speaking to one another, and that's a whole different thing. Do you hear the difference? They're speaking about one another, and it's nice, but then there's like the relationship itself. And in that space, it's a whole different language. A whole different language. Because it's an intimate bond. Hainu chafitzim be'etzem hakesher. Now it's not about any of the sviv, you know, any of the stuff that you speak around and about the relationship. Now it's just the thing. It's just dinner together. It's beyond, you know, praising him and praising her. It's just conversation, dialogue, an intimate bond, sharing life with one another. V'zeha ikar, and that's the main thing. And you know what? V'chol ashar kfar b'memela, you know, and everything else, it comes along with it. Comes along with it, but it will take its own unique forms. And then there are love languages. And then you figure out, you know, what's the way that you can communicate with her in such a way that she feels loved and he finds a way to relate to him. V'chule. But it's I'm going to use that word again. It's not generic. They're no longer speaking about one another from a distance. Now they're speaking to each other. Kidarach ha'ov, ha'mashtoike gumashtad alasas v'tzvenei avoy. And it happens on its own. Like, he doesn't need to pump himself up about his wife. Like, she's my wife. Etzem me'atzamai. Like they're one. V'yulabasar echad. They become one in such a way where there's no distance across which we have to reach with descriptive terminology. This is a delicate point. Is this coming across? Clear? Just nods of heads? Yes? Okay. Okay, let's turn over the page. The pace is good. Hope to keep it up. It's good. At this rate, we'll be zochet to finish. Bezos Hashem. So Here he says, I'm telling you, he says a very sharp thing. He says a very sharp thing here. And in order to contextualize what he's about to say, I want to bring us back to the first shir. Also, he hinted to it in the second shir as well, maybe even more. But in the first shir, you remember we spoke about the way that the Baal Shem Tov's revelation is a part of a process of disclosure. How deeper and deeper lights of Yiddishkeit and ways of relating to Hashem unfold throughout the generations vis-a-vis the darkness that develops throughout the generations as distant and more distant we grow from Matan Torah, from the Beis HaMikdash, and it becomes harder and harder, and the religiosity of the world we spoke about in the first year in the mid-1700s, when all religious structures are falling apart and the development of science and technology, and it becomes harder to believe in Hashem and more difficult. And we said that at the end of time, right, we mentioned it's like climbing a wall of ice, we said, right, and a simple Jew holding on, it's like the Baal Shem Tov. So in direct correlation with the darkness that we suffer, we said that Hashem is revealing deeper and deeper, deeper dimensions, dynamics of our relationship with Him in such a way that we can find Him everywhere, because I absolutely must, because otherwise I can't survive. So maybe it used to be good for my great-great-great-grandmother somewhere, you know, in Hungary, you know, generations and generations ago, the simple faith of knowing that I connect Hashem through my Tehillim, then I close it, and that's where my connection with Hashem is. It was enough for her. It cannot be enough for me. I can't live for a split second without the consciousness, you know, that I'm a chelik alakam imal, and that I could connect to Hashem through this cup of water in the same way that I connect to Him through a sitter, and that a walk in the park is just as holy in a certain sense as a walk through Yerushalayim if I'm conscious and aware that I walk through the park, like I mentioned to somebody today as we walked through the park, which has been an extension of my office, just take walks with people. I said, well, you know, it's up to us. We could be walking through Endon Park, we could be walking through godliness. It's up to us. I gave a shir also last Thursday night about this perception. We can upgrade our lens through which we look at the world. Mamash like an IMAX. Hasidus I've described in the past, as you know, you go to the IMAX and they give you these glasses. So you can go into the IMAX and it'll still be maybe entertaining. I never tried it, but presumably you still see something and you'll hear the sounds and you can figure out the storyline or whatever it is. But can you begin to compare the way the image pops? I mean, it comes to life. You put on these glasses. What changed? Nothing changed. The objective reality was there and ready. It was up to how you chose to view it. It might sound like an extreme muscle. It's like, whoa, okay, an IMAX. I mean, we get it. But like, really? I'll tell you the opposite. What Hasidus does to a person in terms of their relationship with Hashem is infinitely more than the difference between an IMAX with the glasses and an IMAX without the glasses. I tell you, I couldn't say more of an understatement. Mamish, I couldn't, if I tried, I couldn't be exaggerating less. A whole different Yiddishkeit. Whole different davening. A whole different Shabbos. A whole different yontiv experience, mitzvah experience. Living experience. Why? Because a whole different, and that's the subject of our teachings, a whole different experience of Hashem, who sits at the core of this whole thing. And if that shifts, if I start to really deepen and broaden my understanding of what Hashem is and what He wants with me, so then, of course, all the different vehicles that are meant to take me to Him, or maybe more accurately, bring Him to me, and demonstrate the way in which He was already here, and I was already here, and all that I needed to do was open my eyes. So of course all that's going to change. It's obvious. And that's the aim of what we're learning here. So in that context, I'll go back inside and listen to the way that he says this. Kayoytze b'zeh, in the same way. Hasfarim akdoshim, all of the books. All of the Sfarim, and it sounds like he's saying Chas v'Shalom something denigrating about the Sfarim. He's certainly not. But he's just trying to say, relatively speaking, we need a framework. He says we have thousands and thousands of Sfarim that have been published from the beginning of really Jewish history all the way, all the way, all the way, all the way until this moment. Shehina mavo yala yichud. Every single sefer is there to encourage us to build a relationship with Hashem. Look around. All the sfarim on all the bookshelves behind you, to the side of you. Really, when you boil it down to the nekuda, what do they want? They want to help us become closer to Hashem. That is the sum total of every one of the hundreds and hundreds of sfarim on a plethora of myriad different topics. That's what they want. So shehina mavoy ala yichud Hashem yisbarach. They're there to provide a corridor to help us come into intimacy with Hashem. He says, but I'm telling you, you can put them all in the category of medabrim. They all speak bebechinas alav. They're all in the same way that we describe. They're speaking about Hashem. They're telling you what He is, what He isn't. They're praising Hashem with different praises. Psukim and Tehillim, it's all Alav. Well, Tehillim might be actually different. I take that back. In the rest of the Sfarim, Tehillim is mamash different. But in the rest of the Sfarim, it's all descriptive Alav. Tainu gadlu, sviroi mumas Hashem izbarach. They describe the greatness of Hashem and the transcendent elevation of Hashem. The darkei ishtalshelus oiroi, and how Hashem's light filters down through all of the different, what's called spheres, and all the different realms, the worlds, and how it can be perceived in this realm, v'hanagoisav, and how Hashem behaves, and how He interacts with the world, and He does some of His traits, who shmoisav His barach, and His names. That's all the sfarim. But He says, don't forget that right now we're living in the greatest darkness in history. And it has to be the greatest darkness in history, and I say that about this minute. And in a minute from now, I'll say that about the next minute, because each minute that passes, the further and further we go from a time of revelation. So the hastara, the concealment of Hashem's face, is deeper and deeper with each passing moment. So what do we need if we are to hold on? What do we need if we should have any hope in this darkness that we mentioned before? In order to illuminate the bottom of the pit, what do we need? The greatest light. Says Rav Kluger, maybe throughout the rest of history until Rabbi Nachman came on the scene, it was enough to speak about Hashem. Maybe it was enough to speak, kiviyachal, so to speak, about Hashem. We're conscious of Him. He exists. We believe in Him. Gotta serve Him. Like we said in previous year, He's our King. He's maybe our Father. And we know this about Him. Ach or ha-ge'ula, but the light of the redemption, which is shining right now in this room and in this chabura, mechavein es ha-yehudi el ha-yichud beino le-koinoi, is the kind of teaching that brings a Jew into such a degree of, I would use the word maybe familiarity. I keep on using the word intimacy. I can't think of a better word. A total oneness. We use the word friendship. That in that aspect, soiviv kfar ali kare shel inyan. So now, like we're just speaking about the thing itself. Bibichinas elav. The light of the geula says, okay, it's been good for 2,000 years in history we spoke about Hashem. Now let's actually speak to Him. Now we're ready to make Him more real than anything else. To bring that which we learned about and studied about and understand about, I'll bring Him into my life. Lasur achar ikar nekudas hakesher. Now it's not about fancy descriptions and praising one another like we said in the engagement period. Now we just want the relationship, the etzem hasiachdos, just being together. V'loy b'diburim schar schar. And we're not anymore speaking just roundabout ways about one another. Now it's just us. Like, to whom are we going to praise Him? Like, now it's not the aspect of like, what can we say about Hashem? What can we learn about Hashem? He's here. So now He's here. You understand? Now we're in the Yichud rooms. Like, it's like, you made it. So now talk. So now it's beyond, at this moment in history, it's beyond anymore speaking around it. We've arrived, right? We've arrived. So here we are. So Rabbi Nachman reveals this light of His spodidus. Leave all the fancy Torahs on the shelf. We still need to learn them, and there's time for that, and it's still the biggest avodah in the world. But now there's a new thing. There's a new thing called Espodados. Mamash to speak to him. And he brings Kavisha B'Shmona Esrei, like it's written in Shmona Esrei Kfar, in Medubra Al Tiloisa B'Shvachav, Kavisha Hayarata B'Psuka De Zimra. If you notice, the whole thing of Psuka De Zimra, we're praising Hashem. Right? From really Brachas, but through to, you know, Baruch Sha'amar, Tishtabach, Berachas Krishma, we're busy praising Hashem. Shmona Esrei, it's just right in the beginning, we throw in a little bit of praise, okay, Lagadol, Agiba, Vanoira, maybe Ata Kadosh is also a praise, but after that, it's just enough. Here you are. You're standing in front of the king. You don't need to, no more hakdamas, you understand? No more introductions. You're here you are. This is it. It's ni'ila. enough with learning, you know, people are still, you know, rifling through their notes from yeshiva about Elul. I mean, it's ni'ila now. You know, now it's time for you to give me this avrachamim, and the gates are closing, but you're here. So I want to let you and me know, and we have to take this seriously. We are currently in the ni'ila of history. This is it. This is it, brother. This is it. We are in the ni'ila of history. So now we need the thing itself. And that means, and I mentioned this in previous shiurim, and it's crucial again as mothers to be, educators to be, but not all of you are going to be educators, but Be'ezus Hashem, all of you will be mothers, and mothers are educators, and to be a Jew is to be an educator, irrespective of any role. You're already teaching, you're teaching, a Jew is meant to be a teacher, one way or another. You need to be plugged into the reality, and I need, hopefully, to be plugged into the reality, that the Torahs from hundreds of years ago are important to learn, but we need to be completely aware that this generation needs a Torah that speaks to it, that speaks to a new dynamic. And I don't say every generation, like I mentioned, it goes very quickly now. Rabbi Nachman said, Ha'esh shali tukad ad bias ha-Mashiach. He said, now it's my time. My fire will burn until Mashiach comes. He revealed a new paradigm. And our kids are desperate for this paradigm. And for one reason or another, they're getting into the politics, but it's like beyond politics, people are dying, so I don't care about, you know, communal reservations. It's like, meanwhile, all the kids are in the street. You know, it's like, people are, for one reason or another, we're not giving people what they need. Most of us don't even know that it exists, to know what to give. Things are changing slowly but surely. I mean, here we are, right? It's a different world. It's a different world. Mamash, a different world. It's a different world. And our kids need so much. They need the thing itself. And if we're not delivering our teachings about halacha, or about tznius, or about Yiddishkeit in any way, shape, or form, or for the boys it's Gemara, you know, whatever it is, the curricular elements, if we are not speaking, you can use the mouse if you need. If we are not speaking about the thing itself, meaning Hashem, 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 and a relationship with Him that goes beyond communal expectations or the system, or it's not going to do it for them. I'm telling you. As a person for whom it didn't work, I'm telling you. And I was at the beginning of it. Now it's much, much, much clearer. Kids want to hear about Hashem. That's it. Because that's really what Yiddishkeit was always about. But we got away with sort of making it about different things along the way throughout history because we managed with it. Today, kids need, again, it's the Yichud room, it's Ni'ila, so enough. So they need to be told, you can speak to Hashem in your own words. He's here right now. It's a b'china of what Rabbi Nachman says. We don't have time to get into this whole thing now. I do have Shiurim on it online. If you're interested, Likutei Maran, Torah Yud. The 10th lesson, it happens to be a Purim lesson, but it's an everything lesson. Rabbi Nachman over there speaks about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each of them referring to the Beis HaMikdash in their own unique ways. It's a Gemara in Pesachim. Avraham Kare Har. Avraham Avinu referred to the Beis HaMikdash as a mountain. Yitzchak Kare, who knows? Yitzchak called it a Sadeh, excellent, a field. Vayetze Yitzchak L'soach B'Sadeh. Yaakov Avinu called it a Bayis. Rabbi Nachman explains very deeply that there are three different phases and stages throughout history. And one of my Breslov Mashpiim, Rav Shmuel Moshe Kremer, brings in his Sefer Mayim Amukim. He writes this clearly. happen to have it in that side room. I'm not going to go get it now and read it out to you. We don't have enough time. But he mamish applies this to the Baal Shem Tov, where Rabbi Nachman says, he says, it used to be there was a time in history where the way to Hashem was through Avraham Avinu, it was a mountain. And people had the strength to climb the mountain, but you had to work. Hashem was all the way far up there. You had to climb up, and you had to do the preparation, and you had to Gilgul Sheleg and rolling in the snow and breaking the ice and fasting and all these hard avodas. And yeah, Avraham Avinu's mountain. Got to climb up to reach Hashem. Says Rabbi Nachman, okay, Yitzchak brought it a little bit closer. Yitzchak said, no. He revealed the way in which Hashem is more accessible. It's not a mountain. He's a field. But the Rebbe says, okay, but you still have to go like out of the town, you know, out of the city. You got to find a field somewhere outside the perimeter of the city limits. He says, you know what Yaakov Avinu brought to the world? Yaakov Avinu brought to the world that you don't need to go anywhere. Hashem is in your bias, you know, with all of what that means, in the mundanity of the cooking and the diaper changing and the dynamics of a life and of a family and siblings fighting and fetching kids, in the bias, in the mundanity of trying to make a living, of grocery shopping, of all the different things that we do. Yaakov Avinu brings to the world, it's a bias. Says Rav Moshe Kremer in his Sefer, he says, this is what the Baal Shem Tov is. The Baal Shem Tov brought a new light to the world. Again, I want to reiterate, a lot of people, you say Baal Shem Tov, they immediately start thinking Hasidim. And I'm trying to help people shift, like, away from Hasidim to Hasidus, something else. Hasidim is a set culture. And it's not my personal culture. I don't dress that way. That's not my culture. It's a very beautiful culture. It's not my culture. I don't have a culture. I try not to have a culture. I try not to. Yiddishkeit is. It's Hashem. It's not. We're not a culture. We're not a society. You know. It's deeper than this. Mamashdi, it's a mission. We're an army, maybe. Maybe it's an army. But Chasidim, Chasidus is for everyone. For everyone, it makes no difference what background you are. Again, the Baal Shem Tov wasn't a chassid. Nothing existed. He was a spiritual revolutionary. So what did he bring to the world? Yaakov Avinu Kari Bayis. Hashem is mamish with you, next to you, by you. In the aliyahs, like we spoke about last week, in good times and in difficult times. And there's no better or worse. It's just the same. It just is in the vicissitudes of a real human, authentic life, where we're not fooling anybody else and we're not fooling ourselves. The mud and the you know what it is, life with its glorious moments and its moments of things falling apart. Bias, Hashem is there. You can access Him there. That was the light of the Baal Shem Tov. So go back inside. This is what people need today. Rabbi Nachman reveals the light of a love. Shem says, you're Rabbi Nachman says, you're there now. You're there in the Yichud room. So now talk. Now talk. When we present Yiddishkeit in the context of relationship, it's magic. It's mamish magic. Because no longer do people get the sense that it's the rabbis trying to control people, because they don't get the sense that there's a hierarchy. They don't get the sense that there are some who are better than and holier than. It's just a bunch of crippled, broken human beings trying to hold each other up to the last steps to the finish line. And it's not about a system, and it's not about expectation, and it's not about what this one thinks or what that one thinks, and it's not about any of this or shidduchim. None of it. I'm telling you, none of it. It's about Kodesh Brichu. It's about Hashem. And it's about my neshama being in this world for a tiny period of time, which is 120 years, a tiny period of time, should all live long and happy. As Hashem, a full life, tiny time. And it's about my neshama trying to find its way back home into Hashem's embrace. And it's about knowing that every little bit of effort that I make, you know, to learn Hashem's love language, which he calls halacha, that's Hashem's love language. Oh my gosh, you know, how I'm entering into an intimate relationship with Him. And how I know that He's there for me. And how I know that His expectation is not that I should be an angel and that when I fall, I'm a demon, like Owens wrote. You know, if we teach our kids that they have to be angels, so when they make one little mistake, they feel like they're the devil. But if we teach our kids to be human, then when they make a mistake, they'll still be human. And that's good. That's healthy. And that's how Hashem expects from us. Hashem didn't come to torture us. He's not coming to hurt us. Hashem created the world with love. Olam chesed yibane. Bihi baram. Al tikr bihi baram ala ba'avraham, the Pasuk says, the Medrash. Hashem created the world with Avraham. Avraham is midas chesed. It's unbounded love. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. And anything that you read in our tradition, whether it's in the Psukim or it's in the Midrashim or it's in the lived experience of Hamas breaking the border on October 7th and murdering people, whatever it is, if we're reading it out of the context of his love, we're making a crucial and I would say catastrophic mistake. That's basic. Hashem is love. That is what he is. Infinite, infinite love. And if anybody thinks that I'm speaking like a hippie, I'm more than happy to give them a whole list of sources much before the Baal Shem Tov. I'm telling you, friends, we became so, I don't know what. We've lost it. We've mamish lost it. We've lost it. And David HaMelech knew what it was. The whole Tehillim is filled with this. The whole Shir HaShirim is filled with this. And it's like, oh, I don't know. People get so, you're talking about Hashem. Like, okay, like what? We're holier than, you know, that we're the frumish generation for sure. Much frumer than Shlomo HaMelech. We wouldn't dare talk about Hashem in the terms like a relationship. Like, oh, you know, Shir HaShirim is like the most, you know, I can't even say. They almost didn't want to include it in the corpus. It was so evocative. It was so, whoa, you know. That's what it is. That is what it is. Rachmana Liba Boy. And it's not what I'm trying to point out is this is not Hasidus of Torah. Maybe it's one approach. No. It's Hashem sent a new light to the last generation. And if we continue to ignore it, we're going to continue to suffer. And we're going to continue to see problems because Hashem gave us the cure. So it's up to us. I'm telling you, it is up to us to accept it and to change the language. Change the language in the homes. Change the language in the shuls. Change the language, certainly, in the schools. Change the language between friends. Change the language, you know, as it relates to every Torah content that we see. It needs to be contextualized in the language of a love, not a love. A love. Let's go back inside. Says Rav Kluger, some people might make the mistake of thinking, hey, you become buddy-buddy with God. Oh, Hashem is your friend all of a sudden. Forget it. So you're not going to, how could you ever, like you're not going to live, chas v'shalom, not you, but a person won't live a life that's really plugged into Al Malchus Shemayim. Says Rav Kluger, it is literally the opposite. And I've seen this time and time and time and time again. The fears are unfounded. It is the opposite. The more you speak about Hashem as a big scary, the more he becomes small, constricted, incapable of being believed in, and the more people just chuck it, the whole thing. The more you give people a Hashem that they could relate to emotionally, it's the greatest motivator. It is the greatest motivator. Ki kabbalas ol kayim gam be'eved v'gam be'isha. He says in every relationship, yes, there are those that do something that, you know, for their beloved. A servant does something for the master, right? And in the obviously the fundamentally different kind of relationship, which is the woman and her husband, she does things for him. She makes him dinner, right? Chas v'shalom, he doesn't mean to put them in the same context like Eved and Isha. He's not saying this. On the contrary, he's trying to draw a distinction. He's saying in the relationship between a master and a servant, well, the servant does stuff for his master. Oh, well, in a certain sense, the wife does many things for her husband. So that's the same. He's like, no. What a difference there is between the dynamic of the relationship where the chas v'shalom, again, the servant, we say lahavdil, is doing something for someone and then the husband is doing something, the wife is doing something for her husband. Ki eitz ala eved. When you have a person that's just, you know, doing something, he says a servant, let's say an employee, it's a job. His main thing is he's just got to really do it. There's a certain amount that's expected of him. He's got to fill the quota. Right? He's got to do what he's got to do. But it doesn't come into the conversation. The love of the Adain, the master, there should be love there. This is not the point. But when it comes to a marital relationship, and again, it's a mashal, irrespective of what our circumstances, a good friendship, you know, whatever it is, The Gemara says, Oyser Tzoyin Bala. It's a whole different thing. When a wife is doing something for her husband, she makes him a coffee, you know, she prepares something, she goes out of her way. And the same again is true with the husband and the wife. They're both givers, they're both receivers. It's Oyser Ritzoin Bala. She's doing it out of wanting it. She's not forced to do it. She's not doing it because this is expected. And what kind of crazy relationship is that? She's doing it because there's love behind it. Sha'afal pisha chen mitzuy bebit of a kabbalas all. Maybe, yeah, things are expected in the relationship. But the main thing, sha'abal roitzeh. But that's the main thing. Oh, my husband really wants a cup of coffee. Not about like, oh, what's going to happen if I don't make him? Chas v'shal. V'zeh yisoyra kesher. And this is built. She wants to go out of her way because there's a foundation of love. I'm telling you, it's the same thing with parents and children. It's the same thing with teachers and kids. I'm telling you, but we have not learned this lesson yet. I'm telling you, we have not. I deal with situations. We have not yet learned the secret. Parents are still trying to force kids to do things, and they don't understand why it's not working. And what we're trying to explain is relationship comes first. If you don't have a relationship that's outside of expectation, that's outside of needing the kid to do this or that, that's essential. If it's not clear to the kid that they do need to do nothing to earn your love, zip, that you're bound up with them for eternity, irrespective of what they do or they don't do, oh my gosh, is it easier? Once the relationship is there, that then, because it's natural, so there's going to be respect because there's mutual respect. There's going to be love because there's mutual love. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, and I would say on the contrary, it ends up being counterproductive. It's so sad. It's so sad because the parents mean well, and the kid means well, but the relationship falls apart. And the more that the parents push, what happens? The more the kid rejects, and the more the kid comes to resent. And it's a huge nebuch. Not because the parents don't love the kid. They're doing it because they love the kid, but they made a mistake. They didn't realize that the unconditional love is the foundation for the relationship. And I'll prove it to you from a Gemara. Because this is an important point. I'm trying to get a lot in before Pesach. I'm not going to see you for a couple weeks. I have to say a lot of stuff. I'm just going to put just a tiny Gemara brachas that you should take with you and remember. And then, oh boy, oh, we still have a lot to get to. Oh boy. Oh my goodness. Oh, it's late. Sheesh. Okay. I'm going to have to leave the Gemara in Brachas out for now, but it is a Gemara in Brachas. That mentions, just in the context of Ashrei, basically very, very quickly, the Gemara says that David HaMelech left Nefila out of Ashrei because he couldn't mention, you know, falling, even though it goes on the Aleph base, so the letter Nun is missing. Right? It goes straight from Malchus Kol Olamim, and then the next pasuk is Soymech Hashem L'chol. Where's the Nun? Says the Gemara, he couldn't say Nefila. Says the Gemara, oh, but he still slipped it in. Because in the pasuk Soymech Hashem, Hashem supports L'chol Hanoiflin. There the Nun of Nefila that really should have started a sentence is slipped in there. You know what the Gemara is telling you? It's okay to talk about Nefilas. Meaning, it's okay to criticize in the context of Soymech. When you begin the conversation about things that need to be worked on, in the context of Soymech Hashem, like the first thing is, Hashem is with you. Don't worry. Strengthen yourself. Hashem is with you, and His love for you is unconditional, and He's there with you all the way. Okay, but let's be honest. We are a human being. Need to grow. L'chol ha'nifla. Then it becomes okay to speak about Nefila in the context of Soymech. Very powerful. And it's mamish in the Gemara. Very, very, very powerful. Okay, let's a bit speed read. We have 10 minutes left. Let's try to get to the end. So it's a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing. Kach ikrin yanishal Yehudi. It's the same thing with the Jew. Asher b'chol avodoy seves Hashem. That in all of his serving Hashem, noy deliba b'ikra la keshra miyuchat shebeinu l'koinoy. The main thing in our generation is what they call in Breslov, the tachlis, the tachlis. Breslov doesn't care about menhagim. They don't care about dressing certain ways. They don't care about which this, which that. And if they do, then they're falling out of what Rabbi Nachman wanted. In Breslov, the real Breslovers, none of this matters. One thing and one thing only. Avodas Hashem. The tachlis. All the what's called in Yiddish kleinigkeiten, the small stuff, It doesn't exist. I'm telling you, I know these people. I try to live in this way. Hashem should bless me to really be able to do it. As I say all the right words, it's so hard to do. But I'm telling you, these people are beyond it. And I know I wouldn't want to say other kinds of Jews, not to say anything bad. It's night and day. It's night and day. There's one thing and one thing only. It's Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Emuna, emuna, emuna. They don't see all the external stuff because it does not matter. Not an iota. Not an iota. The hats and the shirts and the tzitzis and the this. And it doesn't matter. I promise you. It doesn't matter. Shidduchim are made and broken. Things that don't matter. Not a bit. They matter because society tells us that they matter. So forget society because our Sinai came before it. People want to know, what was the demographic? They ask me, who's your demographic? You know? Who was Hashem's demographic when he came down with the Ten Commandments? Like, who is his demographic? Stop. It's for every human. It's for every soul. That's why I said in the beginning, you remember the first year, you're going to see all kinds of ages and backgrounds and stages, and that's the beauty of it. Because it does not matter. We're neshamas, we're not humans, we're souls. And we have to engage with Yiddishkeit on the level where it's it, like, I'm telling you, it's like we're at the bottom line of history, so get to the point. And our neshamas, and I'm telling you, it's increasingly truer and truer with the younger and younger neshamas that all the old generation, they cluck their tongues, what a terrible dar, you know. I'm telling you, it's first of all, it's exactly the opposite. Anachnu dar mitsuyan, the young people, unbelievable fire in them. The more they are desperate to be spoken to with the language of Geula, when they don't get it, they run away. Not because they're running away from Yiddishkeit, the Yiddishkeit that they need, they never got. I'm telling you, I see it. I could tell you now story after story after story. I mentioned Hendon Park. I do lots of walks. I meet lots of people. The same story, each and every one of them. And I don't change what I say to each of them. Let's reintroduce you, just like I was reintroduced. That's all you need. Boom. Like, they don't want to be made frummer. They do want to connect to the infinite being that's present in everything. So let's talk that language, because like, why not? Why shouldn't we get to the point? We need to get to the point. Let's go back inside. Trust me, this relationship, yeah, it's going to bring to awe. People think that it's going to degrade. It'll bring to more fear of Hashem. Not fear like scare of, but Yira Shemayim, v'acharata, and regret when we do wrong. Not because we're afraid of getting punished, but because, oh my gosh, like the relationship is so precious. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want that there should be something in the way. And that, yes, there's going to be time, and we're going to learn about this in Hispodidus, of making an accounting with a broken heart. It's not a free-for-all now because, Rabbi Nachman said that everything's fine. That's not what's going on here. And people who think that they don't know the beginning of what they don't know the beginning of, they don't know. But we do it with presence of mind. That brings us to real tshuva, real healthy tshuva. As we're going to learn all about in the Sefer. This is the light of Mashiach. Lichyos, to live mitoich havana, with the understanding shemesiras hanefesh, that all of our sacrifice for kabbalas ol and all of our acceptance of the quote unquote the yoke of Yiddishkeit, but im, they're all coming to us mitoich ha'ara, through the lens shal yichud ritzoyin bal yisbarach, because of how much Hashem is desperate for a relationship with us, desperate. Desperate for a relationship with us. Ach toiva chesed yir defuni. Yeah, Hashem is a word for it. He's a chaser, or whatever. He's chasing us. He is chasing us. Ach toiva chesed yir defuni. What do you think toiv is? Toiv Hashem lakol. What do you think chesed is? Chesed kel kol ayah. It's Hashem. He is pursuing us, as unworthy sometimes as we think. That's what it is. That's the whole thing of Yiddishkeit. It's an opportunity to be intimate with the infinite being who is present from the beginning of time and is going to be present until the end of time and beyond, who wants to rectify his world. There's nothing more attractive than that. I don't have to convince a kid now to go and sit down and memorize Mishnah. For what? For what? Put it in the context of a relationship with Hashem. You watch and see what happens. And we're going to see, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll close with this, Nechza, we're going to see with our own eyes, She'ezboididus, that the experience of personal prayer, which we're going to learn a whole lot about, it's going to bring into our hearts this clarity of Hashem's presence in the world. But even she'ein lo sheni ali adamas, there's nothing else in Yiddishkeit. A huge statement. There is nothing else in Yiddishkeit that can give us this. As much as his spodidus, when done in a proper way, which we're going to learn all about. The kanirmas bapasek, as it says in the verse, Hashem badad yanchenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads us alone. Yanchenu, he guides us. Shederech habadad ma'alu mezacheches es nishmas Yisrael. Hashem badad, Hashem guides us with badad, which is a reference to his spodidus, being alone with Hashem. Lefnei HaMelech Hashem, L'Gushoyin Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and like Rabbi Nachman, Schusa Yagan Alena writes in Likutei Maran, Da, a person should know, She'ikar HaBitul, that the primary form of Bitul, which is really becoming transparent to our source, like a window, to rub all the dirt away, so that Hashem's light could shine through us. She'adam evatel yishusa, that a person's ego is nullified, v'nase ein, that the person just becomes like just a servant. V'nichlal ba'achtas Hashem yisbarach, and you start to see yourself as a part of Hashem, ein se'el al yidei hispodidus. This is not possible other than through hispodidus. Siach ha'hispodidus goyim lekesher mitziyus, si v'tiv'i im Hashem yisbarach. The conversation in hispodidus, oh, what a precious thing. Spending time with Hashem, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, what a precious thing. It's the essence of Yiddishkeit. It's like everything else that Hashem was trying to get us to do through all the shishis or their Mishnah, with all the 60, however many Masechtos or Gemara, with all the mitzvahs and halachas, it's all trying to get you to what hispodidus is. Take 10 minutes, walk in the park and talk to Hashem in your own words. That's the Yichud Rim. You understand? That is Ni'ilah. That is it. There's nothing clearer. There's nothing more fundamentally essential. It is the point of the rest of it. We need the rest of it. Nobody's saying we should do away with all of it. Obviously, there's tikkunim that are made from every mitzvah and every word of all the svarim that we badmouth Chas v'Shalom before. We need them all. I can't stress that enough. This doesn't come to the exclusion of anything else. But it's a revelation of something new. And this something new, it's like, where have I been? Like, what was I doing until now? I could talk to Hashem in my own words. It's the aspect of Yaakov Avinu. Siach Hasboidus, it brings Garim, it causes Lekesher Mitzius, Si Vitiv'i Im Hashem Yisbarach, a very natural bond. Just like saying Kriya Shema twice a day, Shema Shpia Malcha Shema Malkol Yoyim, that impacts the whole day. Says Rabbi Nachman elsewhere in another place. It's interesting because my count over here on the camera tells me I still have 7 minutes left, even though we're at nine. But I know, can we have just a couple more minutes, or is everyone in a rush? Just a little bit more. I really want to finish this, so I'll just speed read the rest. Al kaponim sha'acha, says Rabbi Nachman, if we give just an hour, sometime every day, he gives a promise. Bivadai yiskel iskar v'lav yisbarach b'emes. You will get close to Hashem. You will build a real, vibrant, healthy relationship with Hashem. Let's do the next part super, super quickly, 2-3 minutes. Maimer hispodidus b'sefer, all the different discourses about hispodidus that we're going to learn in the sefer, mushulavim kam inin inikudus achaver, unikudas hatzadik. They are also very important in terms of the dynamic of friendships, which we mentioned last week, and our relationship with a spiritual guide, with the tzaddik, just fundamental in Breslev. Shari soida yichud echad hu, because whatever we're going to talk about in the dynamic of our relationship with Hashem, of course, it's applicable to everything else. Ubazev liman alzeh. It's going to help us in our relationships with other people. It's going to help us in our relationship with ourselves. Kol inin echad, and it's all one thing. Mamish. Kibucham makam shatamoitse bebriya musik shal yichud, wherever you find this concept of quote unquote relationship. It's all founded on the deep Kabbalistic principles that the Arizal taught, that Rav Kluger is going to bring down to earth in a super relatable way. Okay, skip the parentheses. Called Keshra Akayim Ba'olam Aruchni. Every bond, meaning relational connection that exists in the spiritual realm, could be an Adam L'Chaveray, right, like friends, Ubin Ishla Ishtai, husband and wife that we spoke about, Bein Talmud L'Tzadik, a student and a spiritual guide. And he says, even Ubin Gufu Neshama. That's also a relationship. The body and soul. That is also a relationship. Mushrash Al Oysan Yisoidos Ikarim. They're all founded on the same spiritual principles. And when we get them down pat, you'll watch how not just Hispodidus will change your life, that for sure, but Mimela, every other aspect of relationship in life will change. Shari Kol Echa Me'arbak Sharim Eila, because all of these four connections, Nachatz B'Yosel Eskasher Som Hashem Yisbarach, they're all part and parcel of our relationship with Hashem. Aki Dabalei Da'i Efsher, until something's missing, if we're lacking in the rest of our relationships, when we come to Hashem. Because of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, like Rabbi Nachman says, Al Devar Nekudas HaChaver, Nekudas HaTzadik, Nekudas Atzma, Nekudas Maran. Rabbi Nachman speaks about the relationship that we need to have with another friend that's called Nekudas HaChaver, the point of connection between two friends. Rabbi Nachman speaks about Nekudas HaTzadik, the point of connection between a Jew and a, like we say, a spiritual guide. And here Rabbi Nachman speaks in the deepest way about a Nekudas Atzma, having a relationship with ourselves. Fostering a relationship with our own selves. Ha'efsharus luchis b'poilas akshar malalu k'dabai. In order, the ability to really live these bonds as we need to, ba'ifan ha'meskara v'latachlis, she'ara Hashem Yisbarach, which again is to bring us to the point, which is to let God's light into my life in a real way. Ya'ide eskashus, leiv ha'myusedes, nechoin al piklali ha'yichur. We got to study, like, what's the basic foundation for living in this way, in a healthy, proper way. And we keep the Abba Hatalia, we come to the end, because all these relationships depend on one another. Al king kol ha'madurba b'sefer zeh, everything we're going to learn about in this sefer, which will start after Pesach, yafek koichai li'yaseid u'lahar nechoin ha'kol kesher b'chaim. You're going to see how it illuminates the dynamics of every relationship in life, in every aspect. Eichel ha'asoy se kli, how to turn that relationship, again, between body and soul, between one's own self to oneself, between, let's say, husband and wife, if that's the stage, or if that's the reality, between friends, between a person and a spiritual mentor, it's all one. Those will become vessels for the light of the presence of Hashem. So many people yearn to have a real relationship with friends or with a tzaddik, or being in bias with kesher kedusha, or they want to have shalom bias. He says, "Yimtzu be'ezes Hashem to'elus meruba b'sefer anochichi." They're going to gain a whole lot from the sefer. Kanoida, because it's known. It's only when a person has their shalom bayis in order. When a person has connections, proper relationships with his family, then you can relate to Hashem, like the pasuk says, "V'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha, ani Hashem." So these two things are in direct correlation. The more that we could have good connections with our friends and with other humans, so too, we have a connection with Hashem. And every aspect, the giver is always the concept of Hashem's presence. And when a person gives to his family members in his or her house, it's the same dynamic of the relationship that we have with Hashem as a nation. It's the same dynamic across the board and in every aspect of the relational spectrum. Perid bezechas v'shalom, and when there is disunity, garim perid sharshi bezechas v'shalom, it causes across every aspect of relational dynamics a break. Mizbeach moirid demayis chas v'shalom, when a husband and wife can't get together, the pasuk says, the gemara says, the mizbeach is crying. Because this is really the depth of what it means, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't called a big temple. It was called a bayis. It was a house. And when we couldn't live together with Hashem, we didn't have shalom bayis, because we're meant to be relational with Him. So it's mini destruction, the Beis HaMikdash, if a husband and wife and friends can't get together. Hefech shalom bayis ubin in a mishkan mikdash shesham hayu kruvim urim zebazeh b'shleimus hayichud. When there was shalom bayis in the house, the kruvim, like we mentioned in a previous shiur, were or bound up. And gevalt, it's like rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash when we learn how to rebuild our relationships. Final paragraph. And I would say this is maybe the most important of all of these different aspects of relational dynamics that we mentioned, is bein neshama leguf. It's between the soul and the body, because that we all have. Right? If you're alive, it doesn't matter if you're married, not married, chas v'shalom, person has their parents, doesn't have parents, chas v'shalom, children, no children, friends, no friends. Neshama neguf we have. And when those two things are in disunity, very, very difficult. When our neshama doesn't know how to relate to the guf, and to the guf of all things, meaning physicality, and we have skewed perceptions of what a body is and what the world is, meaning the physical world, what eating and drinking are, etc., and we have unhealthy perspectives, destructive, maybe for women more than for men, destructive. Listen to what he says. Shleim o shleim bayis bein neshama leguf. To have a real relationship between the soul and the body. In this generation, how many people are yearning l'shalva p'nimizu? To have this inner peace of mind. Beinam l'bein atzmam, in their own inner world. Ube'ezrus Hashem yimseha ara rabba v'yisaydes b'sefer denan. They're going to also gain tremendously from this sefer. Ki kol zman sh'loytol neshama l'siyachadusa b'guf ba'aras panim, because of the neshama doesn't know how to treat the body properly. With a shining, smiling face, with a loving face toward the body. Afkit simsim arhula, even though the body seems to constrict the light of the soul, afhula yisar lekabel ara, so the body is going to reject the soul. And it's going to be, they're going to be fighting. Because the neshama never learned how to treat the body properly. In the same way as we're going to see that we never learned how Hashem is actually trying to treat us. So we're running away from Him. We have no idea what it is. So in the same way, the neshama never learned how to relate to the body, and so the body rejects it because they don't have shalom bayis. Chelik al kamimal, and it's not going to receive this portion of the divine. And so they're going to be fighting, the body and the soul, and neither will allow the other one to fulfill its purpose in the world. And time is wasted. What a shame. With this, he really finishes. But when the mashpia, which is the soul, the giver, hainu neshama, baba ar paneha el aguf lisratzes ulispayis lo, which we're going to learn how to really hear Hashem telling us how good we are, how good we are, how much He loves us. We're going to learn about this in the deepest, most beautiful way. When the body hears that from the neshama, and the body wants to serve the soul, it says no problem. Again, because it's a relationship that's built out of love, not rejection. People want to know, I'm having such a hard time serving Hashem. He's rejecting your body. Why should your body want to help you? There's no shalom bayis. We have to know the dynamic, and we're going to learn the dynamic. And the body stands up with great joy. To do everything that it can to serve as a fitting receptacle, as a dwelling place for the light of Hashem, which is the light of the neshama, our neshama. And then they make a pact, the guf and the neshama, the Rebbe, the Talmud, the Chaverim, the husband and the wife, and the Jewish collective and individual soul, and the master of heaven and earth. We make a pact. And then we're ready to be mekabalim, to receive everything Hashem is trying so desperately to give us. As it relates to our ultimate universal and collective relationship with the Master of Heaven and Earth. So, like, no pressure of Kluger. That's a lot. That's a lot of stuff he's promising us. But I'm telling you, having learned the Sefer, it's true what he says. We're going to gain so much that we're going to be wondering why they would teach anything else in schools other than this sefer and these types of teachings. And the answer is, Be'ezer Hashem, all of us will find our way in the Nekudas Chaver, when we speak to other friends, in the Nekuda of parents and children, children and parents, Rebbeim and students, we make other students, and students, Mamish students, we have a passion for teaching in formal and informal ways. Find people are desperate to matter. And when they hear words like this, that Hashem is mamish pumping them with confidence all the time, it can save their lives. So we have our work cut out for us. I think it's an excellent start, these three shiurim. Catch the first one or two if you missed it, because we also said important things there, I think, with Hashem's help. And looking forward to beginning the actual Sefer after Pesach, the Siyata Deshmaya. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you to all of you who are listening, and to you who joined on the Zoom. And should only hear good news, not kosher, sameach, v'ezus Hashem. Thank you again.